We read this morning from Acts chapter 11, verse 19, the church in Antioch. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. This is the word of the Lord.
And this morning we have Paul here to come and talk to us about that. Shall we just say a short prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul and for his gifts of leadership. We ask you this morning to give him your word to talk to us. We ask that you can open our ears to hear and help us to understand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lizette, and good morning to you all. If you get the Friday email, you'll know that we're seeking to move through the whole of Acts before Christmas. Or by Christmas. And that means that each week we are focusing within two or three or chapters. And each week we'll tell you what those are on the Friday email so that you can, if you wish to, read those chapters ahead of either the Sunday or the Wednesday. And this week we are looking at chapters 9, 10 and 11. The Christians were first so called at Antioch. Before this, they'd been called followers of the way. You can read that earlier in Acts. But it's at Antioch that people were first called Christians. Christians literally means little Christ, little Jesus. And I want to suggest that that is God's call to us as we leave this place, as we go to wherever we'll spend the rest of the day this week, that we are to go as little Christs, as his representatives, by God's Spirit being made more like Jesus, so that we can indeed be little Christs. From this reading, I just want to suggest two things as we consider Acts as our manual for the scattered church, a manual which answers how questions. How can we effectively, fruitfully, meaningfully be little Christs? Firstly, to ask the relatively simple question, where are you scattered? Some of us live within this parish. Some of us live within the more local community. Some of us travel from other parts of the city. And some members of Christchurch travel from beyond that. But it's not just where you're placed geographically, but where you find yourselves. So as well as a geographic location that may be street and local community, there may be the places where you habitually shop. There may be places of leisure. There'll be places of family and so on. And for most of us, nearly all of us, I'd imagine, there will be several of those locations where we are placed. And I invite you, this is by no means a new thing, but just invite you afresh over the coming days just to prayerfully consider those places and accept the fact that you may well be the only little Christ there. The places where you are located are not places where I can go easily, not places where others can go for you, but where you have been placed to be the little Christ there, to represent and reflect the love, the compassion, the mercy, and the grace of Jesus. God's placed you there for a reason. You're not there by accident. Spend time just asking God how you can be effective for him in that place. I'm aware that you're already doing this, and so this is simply by way of encouragement to keep doing it and to do it as much as possible. And secondly, I love what it says in verse 23. Barnabas is a great character. His name literally means son of encouragement. And he clearly has a heart to encourage. We can see that at the end of the reading, that he leaves Antioch, which must have been an incredibly exciting place to be a little Christ in this season. But he leaves that to go to Tarsus, which is at the other end of the Mediterranean in Spain. Not an easy journey. People did get shipwrecked, you'll be aware of that. But he goes to look for Saul, and he brings Saul back to join in the work. But in verse 23, Barnabas has been sent from Jerusalem to Antioch. And we read in verse 23, when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them. And so I want to encourage us all to ask God to show us what he's doing in the places that I mentioned in the first point where we are placed. Ask God to show you what he is already doing. It can be really encouraging to know that we do not have to initiate everything. God is already at work where you are. Ask him to show you. Ask him to show you what his grace is doing, and then join in. This sounds simple, but each of us has to work out what this looks like for us. But Jesus said exactly the same. When he was on earth, he said, I can only do what I see my Father doing. I can only speak the words that the Father gives me. So Jesus understood his ministry to be about observing his Father's activity, listening to his Father's voice, and then joining in. Over these three chapters, we see that for the early church, and I think for us, that involves a willingness to see God at work in places we do not expect it, and dare I say it, places and people in which we do not approve. We saw this in the conversion of Saul. Some of you will be familiar with it in Acts 9. Saul, who was the great persecutor of the church, comes to faith outside Damascus, and God says to a follower of his, a little Christ called Ananias, I want you to go and lay hands on Saul. And Ananias says, do you ever have these conversations with God when you say, God, I'm not sure you really understand the situation? I mean, when you think about it, it's quite funny when we do that, but I think we all do. And Ananias says, do you not understand that Saul has come here to destroy people like me? And Jesus says, actually, you're to go because he's my chosen instrument. And I love the fact that Ananias is obedient. And when he goes to Saul, the persecutor of the church, and Saul will have been responsible for the imprisonment of people that Ananias knew, probably. And his first words are, brother Saul. Ananias was willing to overcome his prejudice and speak the good news to somebody who was clearly an enemy. In chapters 10 and 11, forgive me for rushing through it. Some of you, again, will be familiar. It's an extraordinary story of Peter, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, a Jew who'd really observed the law, not got engaged with Gentiles and so on, and God telling him that he was to go with Gentiles, to eat with them, and to preach the good news to a Gentile Roman centurion, another enemy of the Jewish people called Cornelius. Peter resisted, and Jesus insisted. And that's often the way it is, certainly in my discipleship. I have a tendency to resist, and Jesus, in the most wonderfully gentle way, has a tendency to insist. It slightly reminds me, if I can say this without being irreverent, Brian Clough, who I think was the best football manager England never had, and he always he was asked what happens when there are disagreements with his players, and he said in that wonderful sort of northern accent, "Well, we go into my office and we have a conversation, and then after about 20 minutes or so, we agree I'm right." And I find it's a bit like that with Jesus. But anyway, there we go. So we discern what the Lord is doing and we join in. And part of that, the early church was learning, was being willing to see God's hand at work in situations and people that we may disapprove of. The good news is for everyone. It is not down to the church or individual Christians to determine who gets to hear the good news. If Jesus says go, if Jesus says talk to that person, then that's what we are called to do. God will do the work of leading that person as God led us into repentance and conversion and faith. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Will you accept the call of Jesus to be little Christs where you are placed this week? Will you, will I, invite God's Spirit to show us where he is already at work and then give us the courage and the grace to join him in spreading his love, his mercy, and his grace? Let me pray for us now. Father, we thank you that your work of conversion doesn't stop at the moment when we place our faith in Jesus. But through the work of your Holy Spirit, conversion continues throughout the rest of our lives as the Holy Spirit sanctifies us to be more like Jesus, that we may speak more like him, that we may become kind like him, that we may respond with his compassion, his mercy, and his grace. Open our eyes in the places where you have set us. Open our eyes to the people for whom we may be the only little Christ they meet or know. Open our eyes by the work of your Spirit to see what you are already doing, because you are always at work. And your grace is never inactive. Open our eyes to see what you are doing, and then equip us to join in your work. Amen.